Good evening, church. Can y'all hear me loud and clear?
Good, wonderful. I echo Brother Sloan and Brother Poussin. We want to thank the people of God for being in your spot, for being in church, for staying faithful. You are the best, and thank you for being here tonight. And I want you to pray for a special request. Pastor Bob Buchanan, Central Baptist Church in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, passed away yesterday, and the funeral is on Tuesday. If you don't know Brother Buchanan, he is the pastor to Pastor Keith Gomez and Brother Mike Ray, and he's very instrumental in their lives. So you pray for their family and their church, and as they grieve and sorrow during these hours, days, and months to follow. I don't know about you, I miss our pastor. And Mrs. Strieber, it's never the same without them. Can I hear an amen right there? Never the same. We try, really. And never the same in our offices, never the same in our church. But, oh my, this Sunday, our pastor and Mrs. Strieber, they're back. Praise God. Looking forward to having them. And I asked Pastor Brother Apusin last Sunday, I said, so how does it feel teaching Sunday school and preaching Sunday morning and preaching Sunday night? And he said, I don't know how pastor does it. Makes us appreciate our pastor and Mrs. Strieber. I tell you, I don't know how he does it. It's just year after year and decade after decade, I appreciate them so much. And looking forward to Sunday, we're going to have a wonderful, wonderful day in God's house, Lord willing. And I appreciate our pastor. June 17, what's going on June 17, church? Father's Day! Mothers, remember we pulled the red carpet on your Mother's Day. Remember that, all right? And I mean, you know, flowers and cards and gifts, all that. We all gave it to you and we spoiled you. And in our home, I promised my wife, we had people in our home that day. And I said, you will not cook. You will not touch the dishes. And I will clean up afterwards. So needless to say, I bought to-go food and disposable containers. Amen. It worked. And in our Sunday school class, we set a minimum gift of 200. Can I hear an amen? Don't leave me hanging here, guys. Come on. $200. Who would like to vote? All right. Good. Two of you. All right. Good. And it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful day. And I appreciate God's people. Put a marker, Proverbs chapter number 17 tonight. It's not a bombastic message, but it's a helpful message. Once again, Brother Chris Kissel told me, hey, Brother Martinez, I want to remind you, I watch When Calls the Heart, so after church. So where is he at? Is he even here? I saw him earlier. No, that's a joke. He didn't ask me that, but Brother Mofi did. And I hate being sick. How many of you love being sick? Let me see your hand. Anyone here? I've never met a Christian that prays, Lord, can you please send me some flu virus today? Or cough, or chills, or fever. I mean, I've never met a Christian like that. I just don't like getting sick. Growing up, I hated taking medicines. Can I hear an amen? How many would like to testify, all right? I don't like the taste of medicine. How many of you remember castor oil? Oh, yeah, you know what I'm talking about. How about Keopectate? We still have them? Ain't good. Nice. It's like drinking liquid chalk. And I remember whenever I get sick growing up, my mom would go to our medicine cabinet, and she would pull out a bottle. The name of that bottle is Tempra. I mean, good night. I hated that thing. I threw it away. She picked it up, but I didn't like the taste of that medicine. And I wish they would invent barbecue-flavored medicine, all right? We'd be in so much trouble. I don't like wound medicines either. How many of you remember Mertiolate? Anyone here remember? Oh, my goodness. That thing stings. And whenever we get cuts, my mom would just pour that thing in there. Brother Manna, I call him the red liquid from Hades. And good night, that thing. How many will forget? Well, how can you forget? What is that? Hydrogen peroxide. Oh my goodness! I just don't like him. I don't like being hospitalized either. One reason is because I hate getting shots. Those doctors would come out, this won't sting, just a little bit. And we pay them to do that. I mean, and of course, wearing them hospital gowns. Man, 15 years ago, I walked in a pre-operating room. One morning, I had my leg surgery, and they slapped a little bracelet on me, and they handed me a hospital gown. That's the most pathetic piece of clothing. It's the most embarrassing piece of clothing. And I told the nurse, I said, ma'am, that's an apron. I said, man, I'll wear something like that when I'm barbecuing in the backyard. And then and they gave me a shot of morphine. I don't even wear a gown. I mean, good night. So I put that thing on. I mean, I felt like a supreme burrito that ran out of tortilla. I tell you, it's horrible. All of us get sick. All of us get hospitalized. We have cuts and wounds. Sometimes, no matter how much good we are taking care of our health, we just get sick. In Christian life, all of us go through different kinds of spiritual sickness. Spiritual sickness given or due to our heartaches, failures, broken dreams, problems of life, burdens, and our hearts become heavy. Our spirit is dry, and sometimes we lose our joy and rejoicing in the Lord. We lose our song. We lose our zeal. And we don't feel good spiritually. We lose our spiritual appetite and appetite to win souls and appetite to pray and to work for the ministry. We've all been there. Oh, North Valley Baptist Church, I have good news for you, friend, tonight. Our Lord has given us spiritual medicines that taste so good. Oh, our spiritual medicines that do not have side effects. Spiritual medicines that have no expiration dates whatsoever. Oh, I'm talking about the spiritual medicine from the Word of God that can mend our broken hearts and help cure our spiritual illnesses. Let's talk about that tonight. I'd like to speak on this subject tonight, the medicine cabinet of life. The medicine cabinet of life. Father in heaven, I thank you for your people. On behalf of our pastor, Mrs. Strieber, and the staff, we love the people of God you've given us here. Literally everything we have and we own is because of them. We love them for who they are, not just for the things they have done. Thank you for the North Valley Baptist Church. Help me to be a blessing tonight. I'm humbled that I get to stand behind this sacred desk and be a blessing and read and preach the preserved, powerful, pure Word of God. We need your Holy Spirit to minister to every spiritual needs, my prayer, in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible has the answer. Our Lord gave us the owner's manual to life. Other books were written for our information, but the Word of God was given for our transformation. I find several cures in the medicine cabinet of life for spiritual sicknesses. I want you to please turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter number 17. Proverbs chapter number 17. And I want you to please read a specific verse here in verse number 22. Proverbs 17, verse number 22. Let's read it all together. Like a great church in a Baptist church. Ready? You ready? Begin. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Please notice the Bible mentions the heart and bones together in this particular verse. The Word of God is telling us that there is a relationship between the condition of our heart and the condition of our body. Having a cheerful heart causes good healing. You may write this down if you would like to write it on your Bible. Number one, I see the medicine of merry heart. The medicine of merry heart. I looked it up. The word Mary is mentioned in the Bible 28 times. You may write down the definition. It means lively cheerfulness or enjoyment. Lively cheerfulness or enjoyment. At Christmas time, we would wish one another Merry Christmas. By the way, 202 shopping days left before Christmas. I love everything about Christmas. Christmas is a happy season. The word merry means joyous or bright. I love everything about it, except for calories, of course. And somebody asked Bill Martinez, have you been losing weight? I try. I mean, I'm eating right now, and I joined the gym, and I have good news for you. I've lost so far $70. And the Bible says a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. It means having a cheerful heart in spite of fill in the blanks, whatever we're going through. A merry heart is good for us like medicine. But the Word of God also mentioned a broken spirit. Look at it there, please, in your Bible. And by the way, none of us is immune to having a broken spirit. A broken spirit without a merry heart, the Bible says, drieth the bones. It means it sucks out the marrow of life. People around us and failures and the problems of life are like Hoover vacuum. It sucks the marrow of our spiritual life, and if we're not careful, we can become miserable sometimes. Have you ever met miserable Christians before? Have you ever met grumpy Christians before? I have. It's so easy to spot them. Look at their face. Just look at them. They don't smile. They're grumpy all the time. Dr. John R. Rice said, a sad face is a poor signboard for Jesus. A smile is one of the most important things a Christian can wear and the cheapest way to improve our looks. It's easy to spot unhappy Christians, grumpy Christians, miserable Christians. It shows in their singing. Oh, say, but I'm mad. Oh, say, but I'm mad. That's how they sing. I'm so grumpy, and here's the reason why. Have you ever met Christians like that before? I have. You see, having a cheerful heart is an asset that God can give us. And without it, life can easily become a boredom and a burden. Dr. Curtis Hudson said, a genuine sense of humor is the pole that adds balance to our steps as we walk the tightrope of life. Nothing wrong with enjoying life. Well, Brother Martinez, you don't know what I'm going through. Well, anybody here, you don't have a burden? All of us, from the pulpit, we all go through that. But I'll tell you what, I'm going to live on the winning side. A merry heart doeth good like a what? A medicine. All right, let's go to Psalm 42. Are we still together tonight? Look at verse number 5, please. Psalm 42, back up, just a book from Proverbs, please. Look at Psalm 42, verse number 5. Follow along as I read this verse, please. Psalm 42, verse 5. The Bible says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? What's the next word there, church? Hope. Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. The phrase cast down in Hebrew means to sink down under the weight of sorrow. The psalmist is asking himself, and he's saying, "Self, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou sorrowful? Why art thou depressed and discouraged?" This question reflects the emotional state of many Christians today. Oh, but I like what the psalmist responds here. He answers his own question. He said, "Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance." Praise God. God has given us rejoicing avenue to dwell, and rejoicing circle, and winning side avenue. Oh, I believe God, though the lightning is flashing. I believe God, though the thunder is crashing. I believe God, when the storm is all past, we'll reach the other side safe at last. For the Lord stood by me in the darkest night. He said, "Sweet child of mine, everything is all right. We're never alone. We'll make it on home. For I believe God. Hope thou in God." You see, there are two sides to life: the gloomy side and the brighter side. All of us are prone to look only on the gloomy side, and that's how we become unhappy and miserable. But the Bible gives us the medicine. The Bible says, "Hope thou in God. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine." It's all right to laugh and enjoy life sometimes. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Number two. I see number one, the medicine of a merry heart. Number two, I see the medicine of music. James chapter 5, verse number 13. The medicine of music. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Our God loves music. As a matter of fact, he created music. Our God is a singing God. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. Our Lord sang a hymn before going to the Garden of Gethsemane in Matthew 26, verse number 30. He sang after his triumphant resurrection from the dead in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 12. The angel choir sang the night our Lord Jesus Christ was born. King Solomon was used of God to write 1,005 songs. The book of Solomon is called the Song of Solomon. The book of Psalms is a collection of Old Testament hymns. Singing is mentioned 110 times in the Bible. Musician is mentioned 56 times in the scripture. Our God loves music. He created music for his glory. He created music for his people. He created music for his church. However, anything that God created and anything that God loves, Satan tries to mimic and tries to destroy. Music plays an important role in every Christian's life. The music we listen to could either bring us closer to God or closer to the world. The music that we listen to could make us spiritual or carnal. And when we're going through the spiritual sickness of life, I have found out that there is a medicine in the Bible called the medicine of music. Get your Bible, get your songbook there, please. Brother Waterhouse, are you here still? All right, right there. Let me just sing here. Turn your Bibles, turn your songbook to Psalm 419, please. 419. I want you to sing this. We'll just sing one verse here. 419 in your songbook, please. All right. You got it there? Oh, God will take care of you. Sing now. Oh, be not dismayed. Whatever desire is, God will take care of you. Oh, we could sing a long time for hours, but I want you to see this song here. 442. Oh, my Father planned it all on the first now. Oh, what though the way be lonely and dark the shadows are,
I know where every day my Father planned it all. Oh, I sing from the shade and the sunshine, I trust in whatever befall. I sing for a heavenly my Father planned it all.
Oh, thank God for godly songs and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing healed King Solomon's heart in the Bible. A singing helped King David in time of despair. A singing helped Peter and Paul and Barnabas in prison. Psalm 28 verse 7, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song I will praise him. Psalm 13:6, I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me. Oh, Brother Martinez, I wish I could sing. I don't know how to sing. Christians could sing. It doesn't matter if you can or cannot. Have at it. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And just have a good time. Grab a songbook. Now, don't take this any songbook here home. Buy yourself one, all right? And just sing. God has given us the medicine of song and singing. That's why it's so refreshing to be in church. That first song we sang, Brother Russ, you did a good job. I love it. It's so happy. The medicine of song. Number three, I see the medicine of meekness and prayer. Ladies, I'm going to ask you, James chapter 5, all the ladies, please, the medicine of meekness and prayer. James 5:16, all right? All the ladies, please. James 5:16, and let's stay together as we read the scripture. All the ladies only, and man, you get ready. I'll ask you to read the scripture a little bit. James 5:16. If you're there, say amen. There you go, ladies, all right? All the ladies, ready? Begin. Confess It means to acknowledge our own sins and our faults. The Bible says to one another, this is the key ingredient to enjoy the benefits of prayer. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Church, the Lord has no obligation to heal us when we refuse to get right with other people. Ah, Brother Martinez, you don't know what they did to me. You were not there. That's probably unfair for me to say that, but we don't know what they did to our Lord. We were not there, but yet he said, Father, forgive them. God has no obligation to hear our prayers when we refuse to humble ourselves and confess our faults with one another. Our lives are interwoven by one another. I guarantee you, one of these days, someone will hurt us. And someone will offend us. And someone will mistreat us and wrong us. And sometimes we are the guilty party. Why? Because we are imperfect human beings dealing with imperfect human beings on an imperfect world. Many Christians today are sick spiritually because they are holding grudges. James chapter 5, verse number 9, grudge not one against another, brethren. We don't say hi to some people because we hold a grudge. We have a chip in our shoulder. We will never receive spiritual healing with unforgiving spirit and holding grudges. Our prayers will just bounce off the ceiling. Let me ask you a question. Who do we need to call tonight and ask for forgiveness? Or who do we need to forgive? The medicine of meekness in prayer. It's hard to live a life carrying a backpack filled with grudges. No wonder we are sometimes weary. It's hard. We can't get along with people. The medicine of a merry heart. The medicine of music. The medicine of meekness in prayer. Let me give you number four. The medicine of moral life. The medicine of moral or clean life. The Bible says, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord, thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee. I am the Lord that healeth thee. John, Exodus 15, verse number 26. Growing up, Brother Kaufman, in the Philippines, we have two seasons, rainy season and dry season. We didn't have the Nintendos and the Atari, the Game Boy, Brother Mofi. We have the rice fields and the rivers. That's all we had. Growing up, I have two favorite things to do. When it's raining, Brother Evan, I would just go out there and play for hours in the rain. I mean, it would rain over there, it'd still be 85 degrees. Oh, what a time we had. And then I would go swim in the river. Our river is connected to the Pacific Ocean. Back then, man, I struggled to float. And now I struggle to sink. And I remember I would sneak out. My mother doesn't want me to play in the rain. Brother Brown, she told me, do not play in the rain because you always come home sick. Because we would play for hours and then we'd jump in the river. I would get sick. I would have the cold, the cough, and then she would put out that tempura. Oh, man. But I tell you what, I would not listen sometimes. Sin leads to all kinds of sickness, both physically and spiritually, and we all know it. But the problem is we don't listen and we don't obey. That's why we get sick. There's spiritual strength and healing when we live right. Number five, the medicine of meditating on the Word of God. The medicine of meditating on the Word of God. Book reader. I'm a picture reader. How many of you like me, all right? If the book does not have any pictures, forget it. I get bored. And man, growing up, my mom and dad would buy these textbooks. And our teacher would give us assignments to take home. And I would remember looking at those assignments and I would panic. Colonel Harder, I tell you, I would be like, where do I go and get all the information for all these things? I refused to touch those textbooks. Little did I know, all the answers are in there. They're all in there. I mean, my classmates would show up, we'd get all the A pluses. My sisters, there's four of them. They're all readers. I mean, because of that, they receive honors, and two of them cum laude. And me, I just thank the Lordy I graduated. Amen. It's all in there. The Word of God has the answer to all of life's questions. The answer is in the Bible, but we have to take the time to do the searching. Real quick, for the sake of time, can you please turn to Psalm 119? We're almost done. Psalm 119, get your pen, and I want you to mark some words and some verses. Read it later. Psalm 119, please, in your Bible. Look at verse number 22. Psalm 119, 22. I'm going to skip some of the verses here for the sake of time. The Bible says, remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies. Move forward, verse 25, please. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken means to revive. Quicken thou me according to thy word. Move forward. Verse number 28, please. My soul melted for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. Look at verse number 50, please. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. Move forward, please. Verse number 67. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I have kept thy word. Verse 97, oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Verse 99, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. Verse 100, I understand more than the ancient, because I keep thy precepts, referring to. Verse 107, I am afflicted very much. There it is, that word again. Quicken me, revive me, O Lord, according unto thy word. We started a Bible study series in Sunday evening school of the Bible entitled Back to the Bible. Last Sunday, we were looking at all these hard questions, starting from why do we believe that the Bible is right? And we started part one, part two this coming Sunday at 5. And then we're going to look at, there's this thing as UFOs, and what's the Bible say about it? How about the pyramid? How about the ark? How about all these hard questions? So we're going through that, needless to say. I read a thought to them last Sunday. It says, the Bible is like a telescope. If a man looks through his telescope, he sees worlds beyond. But if he looks at his telescope, he does not see anything but that. The Bible is the book to look through to see that which is beyond. But most people only look at a book, and so they only see the dead letter. North Valley Baptist Church, we cannot survive without the Word of God. Just like we cannot survive without food and water. Our Lord Himself said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. The more we use the Word of God, the more it becomes valuable to us. How many of you remember the yellow pages, all right? That was the Google back then, all right? I remember the first time, Brother Gilreath, a telephone was installed in our barrio. Only three of them in our barrio. Our phone number was 266. And then that telephone company, PLDT, gave us a thick book, a yellow book. Man, I love that thing. It's all pictures. I would spend hours in that thing looking through cars in there. I remember my mom would write phone numbers in there, and she would write all the information. And through the years, that book got thicker and thicker and thicker. And I remember my mom, man, you don't touch that yellow book. You don't take that anywhere because that's very valuable. There's a lot of information in there. This year, I make it a goal to make sure I got a brand new Bible. Make sure every page, there's nothing wrong with marking your Bible. Someone said, mark your Bible, the Bible will mark you. My goal is to mark every single page because I want to put extra attention to the Word of God. How many of you like me? Sometimes you'd fall asleep. And sometimes, especially when you're in the Numbers, Deuteronomy, the son of, and I want to make sure I put extra attention to what the Word of God says. Bell Telephone ad writes the phone book, ... The more you use it, the more valuable it gets. The Word of God is our guide. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is a light, and reproof and instruction are the way of life. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. The Word of God is our strength. The Word of God is our weapon against the flesh and against the devil. Until God has ministered to us personally through His Word every day, we're not prepared to do anything that God wants us to do for Him. I could read you a quote from George Mueller and D.L. Moody. I'm talking about the medicine of the Word of God. Number next, the medicine of mending fellowship with God. Jeremiah 3:22, return ye backslidden children. I will heal your backsliding. Perhaps the Lord is speaking to someone in this building or someone watching online who's been saved, but you know you're away from God. The Bible says the backslider in heart. So it's easy to hide that. Nobody knows it, but you do. The heart knows its own bitterness. If you're away from God, you need to realize there's a medicine for that tonight. It's called return to God. The prodigal son found himself in a ditch. You know the story. He went through major humbling process to learn the lessons of life. He learned his lesson the hard way, but one day he discovered his need to return back home to his father. Perhaps it was a mouthful for the prodigal son to say, "I have sinned," but he did. Somehow the prodigal son got a glimpse of himself and said, "I am wrong, I am the sinner, I am guilty, I have sinned." He did not fight his case, he did not defend himself, he did not point finger and blame others for his failures. He simply recognized his backslidden condition and said, "I have sinned against heaven." He didn't blame his brother. He didn't blame his parents. He didn't blame his spiritual leaders. It was his fault that he ran away from God, and he returned. Across this land, there rings a cry from broken hearts and tear-filled eyes waiting for someone to come back home. It matters not who was to blame. There's just one way to remove the pain. Can't you hear their love now calling you? Come back home, don't wait another day. No need to stay away, for home's where you belong. Can't you see how much God really cares? He'd even pay the fare for you to come back home. Hosea 6:1, "Come, let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn, he will heal us, he hath smitten, and he will bind us up." Let's stand together, please.